In Python, before we had data classes, we had adders. Before adders, well, it wasn't pretty. The story of adders and data classes is actually intertwined. They've built onto each other. And in the middle of all of it, Hinnick. Hinnick joins the show today to discuss some of the history of adders and data classes. If you've ever needed to create a custom class in Python, you should listen to this episode. Welcome to Test & Code. Welcome, Hinnick, to Test & Code. I'm super happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Well, so I wanted to talk about adders, and things have been crazy, and you've been involved with adders for a long time, but you started it, right?
Yes, I did. It was like a second generation project after Characteristic, which nobody remembers anymore, which is okay. And it was just born out of my frustration how complicated it was to write properly behaving classes in Python. Like, because I needed them for another project of mine called Service Identity, where I needed polymorphism to verify identities between certificates and host names and these things. And I found it really frustrating, especially because I was working with other languages at that time. It was much easier to have a properly working, let's say, struct in Go or even in Haskell for that matter. So I tried to automate the boilerplate away. And that's how Characteristic happened, which had a terrible API, which I am ashamed now for. It's also a very, very long name, which is why the original adders APIs were, let's say, on a terse side.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, and like weird too. Cool, but it was shocking to me. But before we get into that, I want to mention that I came from the C++ world, and I was surprised from starting using classes in Python how different it was. I'm used to the C++ compiler filling in a whole bunch of stuff automatically for you. And a lot of that just doesn't happen with the Python classes. Or maybe I just don't understand. Does it? I mean, what do you get for free with Python?
Yeah, basically nothing. That's the thing, right? And the problem was not a secret because people were using this weird hacks using name tuples where they just create a name tuple and then subclass it to add behavior to it. There's this example in the Python documentation. So people were always pining for some kind of nicer way to write classes. There was just nothing. You just have to implement all those dunder methods or you forgot about them and then you got a weirdly behaving class.
Yeah, I never thought about like subclassing name tuples. I would use them and then they almost did everything I wanted, but I'd wanted like default values. So there was you could overwrite the default values. There's a technique to do that. It's weird though.
Yeah, but just add a method to a name tuple. You have to subclass it.
So the moment
you want behavior, you don't have a chance. Unless you, and it gets weird very fast, and it seems sounds of such a foundational thing. So this is why I've started this project.
Okay, so like on a like elevator pitch level, adders does that stuff for you, right? So if you use adders, you can create a class. So what do? You like do a class anyway and decorate it? How do you use adders?
Yes, it's a class decorator, which nowadays is a much more common sight in Python than it was back in 2015 when I started it. And it will, depending on the way it works, because the current APIs are closer to what data classes do, but it used to be you just defined fields in the body of the class by assigning them a certain value and adders would collect them and then write the code for you.
Okay. And this was all before type hints were a thing too, right?
That was very much before type hints were a thing. So sometimes people like compare this 2015 APIs to something new, and it's just and it's like not fair, right? Because those new APIs are not possible. They were not possible, and once they were possible, we did add them to Adders too. So like Adders actually shipped those type annotations before data classes were out.
Okay, so let's go back to some early Adders. Was it picked up by a lot of people? Were people excited about it?
So there was a certain following that was from day one. People like who are more into having proper say class design and were turned off by like omnipresent god objects or hacks around name tuples. And I think it was like in 2016 when Glyph wrote his article called The One Python Library Everybody Needs or something like that.
Well, that's a nice title.
Yeah. And after that, it went pretty big. Yeah. So I should credit Glyph too, because it's also his fault, those APIs. Like, we both used Characteristic. We both were frustrated by it. And we had like this unhinged chat, which was very early in my morning and very late at night for him. And we just tried to come up with shorter, nicer APIs. And one of those ideas was to make the module name callable, which didn't make it in the end product. But if you think that adder.s is crazy, you should have seen what we were experimenting with.
Yeah, so when I started trying out Adders, you decorate it with attr.s for Adders, and then yes. And then you define your variables inside. Class variables are attributes, so they are attr.ib. It's clever, but it's and it's kind of fun to type the first few times, and then you're like, this is kind of weird. It's like a little different than a lot of other stuff.
But the assumption was always, and it was a correct assumption, by the way, that you're going to type it a lot of times. So you want a name that is somewhat short, but still meaningful. Like, I didn't want to. And the nice thing with the original Adders was really that you just imported one name, that adder, right? And then everything you did was bound to that package name. Like, I had always explicit, fully qualified symbol names to everything you called within adders. So it was, in a way, it was self-documenting. So that was a nice property, actually, if you could get behind that. There were always like these serious business aliases, how we called them, which were just like written out names, so you could import them from Adder. What was funnier though is that some people, I think they just didn't get the puns, and they liked. Yeah, well, a lot of people didn't get the puns. Some got really angry about that. That's another thing. But some didn't get it, but they really liked those short names, so they imported the short names from Adder. So they did like from Adder import S and IB, and they did like this at S class whatever, and then defined an attribute by calling IB, which I don't know, man.
That's terrible documentation.
But if your code is full of that, and if it's your company style, why not, right? Like, it's like a central thing, so you get used to it, but it is something to behold.
Well, it's even less typing, right? So IB is less than...
Yeah.
Do we still have the same interface? Does that still exist?
The interface still exists because we almost never break backwards compatibility.
Wow, okay.
Because... to come back to your question, like Adders currently has 105 million downloads per month.
105 million?
Yeah. So it is like solid in the top 30 of all download modules on PyPI.
Too bad you're not charging for it.
Yeah. Like, give me one cent per download, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really vain about this because I'm fully aware that a lot of that comes through third-party dependencies. Like, Adders was a good way to have good classes in your own package in a way that is independent from your Python version. For example, PyTest is using adders internally.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. One of the biggest users, actually. So like 40 million of those 105 millions are from PyTest alone. So.
And okay, so both adders and PyTest are an example of packages that you can use that you can use decorators and just forget that you're using decorators. You don't have to know how decorators work. They just work. They just help you in these cases. I think you're right that people are more used to decorators now than they.
Yeah, I also especially meant class decorators because they're a lot less used than function decorators.
I guess that's true, but I don't write very many classes. I mean, I guess partly because of the initial shock of trying to write classes when I first started Python and having it not be as obvious. But also, Python's fairly modular anyway. A lot of the design patterns and stuff that I was used to that are necessary in C because it's just C or C++ because it's just one giant namespace are not the same with Python. With Python, a module is its own namespace, so there's less need for it, I guess. But for actual data stuff, you'd still need classes or structs or something.
Yeah, I think this is something I also really believe in. That is kind of controversial, is that I use classes only for data. Not that I don't use methods. I do. I absolutely do. But I'm not a fan of like using classes for namespacing, what you just basically said that you are not doing either. It's like some people like it to just put things into classes to give them another namespace. And I don't see the point, really.
Right. But it is like almost necessary in some other languages.
Yes. I think that's why people kept doing it, right? There's a lot of things in Python where you just wonder, why are people doing that? Oh, right. They came from other languages. Like, the time where Python is the first language of almost everybody is actually a quite recent development, right?
Very true. We were talking about the .s and .ib syntax, but things have changed, right? You can do things a different way now. Do you have a different name for the new interface, the new API?
Well, that's more or less like a two-step thing, right? So after I helped with getting data classes happen together.
Oh, yeah. I jumped too far forward. So you were involved with data classes, right?
Yes, I was. Guido emailed me after I announced Adders release, and I've met with him and Eric Smith to hammer down the rough design of data classes.
So that work was going on for quite a while then.
Well, we've met at PyCon, I want to say 2017.
Okay.
Yes, PyCon 2017, and I believe Python 3.7 came out at the end of the year or something. So basically half a year, I want to say.
Was data classes in 3.7 or 3.8? I can't remember.
3.7.
3.7. Okay.
Yeah. So basically after the design was decided on, people just came to Adders and implemented the same design for Adders. Except that we did one thing, which I kind of regret, is that for Adders to look at class body annotations, which is the data class way, right? You write your class and you write x, colon, and then, for example, int for integer.
Yeah.
So you don't have to call any functions in a class body. And so we didn't want to collect them by default because we were afraid to break someone's code who was adding type annotations to their class bodies for different reasons. So you always had to pass like an argument to the adder.s called auto attributes equals true.
Okay.
As an Easter egg, we've also added a function alias for this concrete call, which was adder.data class, which was never documented, but people immediately found it and started using it, which was kind of funny to us. So this is the first step. So because to come back to your question, now this is like, now everything just looks weird because these names don't make really sense anymore. You have to pass this argument into the adder.s. So everything got ugly again. And we tried to get it pretty again. And instead of breaking backwards compatibility or doing some weird stuff to the .s, we decided to create new APIs with different names, with better names and better defaults. And it were, that's the new add define and field function calls. Define class and field if you need to do customization to your fields in the body, just like you would do it with data classes.
Okay, so we would do, so I do from adders import define and import field if I want field also.
Yeah, you've just jumped one more step ahead. So first it was still in adder because we wanted to get these APIs right. We wanted to see how people are going to use. We wanted to see if we need to make them any better. So at the beginning they were provisional, and then we waited, or I procrastinated for a while, and then I've introduced the new adders namespace, because the adder without an S namespace made no sense anymore, because we didn't do the cute things with adder.s, adder.ib, and we also had a lot more symbols within the namespace. When we started out, we didn't know we are going to add so many more things to adders, like converters, validators, you name it. So there's many more features, and it just looked weird to us. So last December, I finally pulled the plug and added a secondary, well, you could say new primary module name to the adders package. And now you can import from adders. So you can write from adders import define from adders import field.
Okay. So one of the things, so I don't, if I, to give it the type, I don't have to use, it's just a type hints, right? For the type of the variable now.
But you then, only need the field if you want to specify, like exclude the field from init or something like that. Like,
okay.
You only need it rarely.
How about for default values? Is that the same as
data classes? Yeah. You just assign them.
Nice. It's a pretty cool history, actually. It isn't really adders versus data classes. You were involved with both, and both kind of feed off of each other, right?
Yes, definitely. Most of the animosity between the projects just came from the outside, and it was very annoying, like, to live through that. But it's not like I was fighting with Eric Smith or something, right? Like, Eric is one of the most wonderful people I know. He always credited us. He credited me specifically. My name is in the PEP, address is in the PEP, and yet people just, yeah.
So are there things that didn't go in data classes that you kind of wish had, or are you pretty happy with how that turned out?
Data classes are a strict subset of what address does. It's missing some of its features, some of which I like, but there's no reason for me to be unhappy about it because there's address, right? Like if I want my special features, I have always address to use. I have used data classes before, especially in my other public projects, to save myself a dependency. For example, in Argon 2 CFFI, I'm using data classes for data.
Yeah.
There's a few things that I missed there, but yeah, whatever. It's just a light version of adders.
One of the things that I found I used, well, actually both of them have the feature that I love, is being able to exclude elements from equality testing.
Right.
One of the things that's not in data classes that you have in adders is validation. Can you tell me what validation is and how it works in adders?
At its core, you can just specify a validator, but as an argument to the adder.ip or adders field function call. So that would be a reason to use those. And you just pass a callable that gets called with, among others, the new value that is supposed to be passed into this field. And you can raise an error, or you can do whatever you want in that validator. So adders comes with a bunch of them. For example, like is instance thing. So you can just make sure that only objects of a certain type are passed into this class, and if they're wrong, it's just gonna explode. I have to be honest that I don't use this as much.
Okay.
What I use a lot more, and what's also not in other classes, are converters.
Oh, okay.
Which allows you to just specify, again, a callable, just a function, that is going to get called with a new value. So for example, if you want to make sure that a field is an integer, but you want to let the user pass anything they want that can be cast to an integer, you just specify a converter int. There you go. Then whenever it's assigned, it's going to get called with int on the value. If it's an int, it stays an int. If it's a if it's a string, it's going to be converted to an int. This is really, that can be really useful, like for small stuff.
When we set it the type anyway, doesn't it automatically do that? I mean, because I'd say that like X is an int, for instance. If somebody...
No, neither data classes nor adders do anything about those annotations by default.
Oh, okay.
And there's always someone coming up and saying, yeah, why don't you use those type annotations to do type validation? And the problem here is that this only works for very simple cases. And the moment, for example, if you have a list of something or something like that, it gets very complicated and you have to develop like, I don't know how to call it, like almost like a meta language like Pydantic has, which is not the pure type annotations, but you need more expressiveness to express those kind of things.
Okay.
So, neither data classes nor adders do that. And converting is something else either, right? So just because it has a type doesn't mean that you automatically convert it to that type.
So you could, so within your converter also, you could check what the type is of that you're getting called with and
yeah, you could
do something different based on different types.
Yes. One of the longest running bugs on adders, adders bug tracker is the unification of validators and converters, because they are really the same thing, except that one thing returns a value and the other one doesn't. But yeah, we still haven't.
You'd have to come up with a new name then if you combine them.
Yeah, there's so many ideas. But there's still nothing we are really happy with, so we just leave it and wait until something better comes up.
Well, so are there cases where you'd want like to have the same function, do both the converter and the validator?
Yeah, you can also do things like pipelines, right? Like you call multiple functions on top of the new value. For example, for validators, you can already pass a list of validators that are executed in turn. So there's ways to compose those things, but there's always been some edge case that made a certain solution unappealing. So, and also, yeah, I don't have unlimited time, so.
Is adders done, or is there stuff going to be developed in the future for adders?
So the thing is that I use adders in all of my projects, like professional projects. So adders is not going to be done as long as I'm using it and as long as I have needs for it.
Yeah, okay.
I think the one thing I'm proud of is that adders now is like 7 years old and has reinvented itself again and again, just along with the Python community. It just kept evolving and kept adopting new features, new ideas. And I don't know how long I can keep up with that, right? Maybe I'll just have to start a new job at some point and I just won't use it anymore. Right? I won't have as much time anymore. That can always happen. But as long as I use it, I think it's safe that I will keep running it and I will try to make it as nice as possible for myself.
That's wonderful. Well, let's hope that you keep having to use it then. I'm using it more and more because of because of the new API. I love it. I love the new API.
I'm very happy to hear that.
it's very clean. And like you said, for the most part, it's a simple, makes classes simple. I do the from adders import define the class, and then that's it. I don't have to do much else. And if I need it, something, I haven't actually looked into the converters. I'll have to play with those. The thing that I usually pull in field for is just to exclude something from the equality test.
Right.
Or something like that. But there's a whole bunch of stuff in field. So people should check out all the API for field has quite a few things that
you... Oh yeah, it does. So there's the one thing though. Like I like converters for simple stuff, but there's always, for as long as errors exist, been a certain pressure to make it more powerful when it comes to serialization, deserialization, and decomposition of data. And this is something that we emphatically do not want to do. We want to give you a great way to write powerful classes.
Okay.
And to do this advanced stuff, because we don't think that this serialization, deserialization, and these topics do not belong into the core models of your code. We believe that this is a separate issue that should be also treated separately. So one of our so currently the Python Adders project has only two projects in it, or the Python Adders organization has two projects in it. One is Adders, obviously, and the second one is Cadders.
Oh, okay.
And Cadders is specifically meant for this kind of work where you just can construct and deconstruct complex data into classes and out again.
I'll have to check that out. Python Cadders?
Cadders is for you to describe data as you expect it and parse it for you and vice versa. So basically, if to give you on a popular example, Adders plus Cadders is somehow equivalent to Pydantic.
Okay.
But in our case, we keep that separate, those two concerns, because we don't think that they should be meddled into one thing.
Oh, I like that. Because there's a lot of times where I don't need all that other stuff. For simple cases, I've got a simple class, so I could use either data classes or I could use adders. I thought there was something different about slots.
So this is a very good example, because slots have traditionally not been part of data classes. But they've been added recently. I think it was in 3.10. So that means that if you are maintaining a package, like an open source package, you have to deal with different feature sets between those between Python versions, right? Like if you have, so if your package is supposed to work with Python 3.9 and Python 3.10, you have one Python version that has slots and one that doesn't.
Okay.
Right. So either you don't use slots or you add some complexity to deal with this. With adders, you don't have this problem. Like if you have a certain version of adders and this version has the same features wherever it's possible.
Does adders use slots, Ben?
Yes.
Is it something you have to configure?
Yes. The new APIs do have slots on by default because we think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that was it. And then data classes are off by default.
Yes, right. And they also just added it. It's like, it's super new.
Okay. Yeah, and so in the slots confused me at first. Correct me if I'm wrong. I use slots because I don't want somebody to add extra fields later. Is that a bad use for it, or am I getting it completely wrong?
I don't believe in paternalizing my users. So for me, that someone is me. I don't want to assign some stuff to my classes by accident. I want to be very explicit what fields exist.
Yeah.
And then if I mistype an attribute name, I want to get an error. And not just accidentally just assign to a different name, and then something is none, and then I get an attribute error or something, and I have to debug what's going on. So that's one thing. It has other upsides too, because slotted classes use less memory and they're also a bit faster.
Okay.
So in general, it's a good idea, in my opinion, to make your classes slotted unless you need to do something with them that you have some specific needs. But we think it's a good default.
Yeah. So my first interaction with slots, I thought, okay, so these are a cool thing to have around for advanced cases. And now I'm totally on board with they're not an advanced feature at all. They should always be used unless you have a reason not to.
Because you could say that the others not having slots is actually a foot gun. So you could say that's the advanced thing, right? Because you remove a safety feature from your class.
Any other cool things that we should know about adders before we wrap things up? There's probably tons of cool stuff about adders.
sometimes I just forget what it does by seeing what others don't do. I think one interesting thing is what's happening right now is PEP 6810, which is about, it's called like the data class transform PEP, and they are trying to standardize a way to define data class like toolkits. So such that they can be universally or uniformly used by IDEs. So this is coming from Microsoft, from the VS Code team, mostly from the Pylons people. And it's an interesting PEP because it's mostly written around data classes, Iris, and Pydantic. So these are the main use cases currently. I'm not 100% happy with the things they left out from Iris, but it's kind of nice to have this kind of support in mainstream.
Okay, data class transforms. That's a standards track for 3.11. Cool, I'll have to keep watching it for that. But the final thing I want to say is that I think everybody that is happy with data classes needs to thank you also. And basically working with classes is better now in Python than was when I started using Python. So thank you. It's great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I do consider it a big achievement of mine, even if nobody knows. But it's really like I've left an imprint, let's say that.
Yes, you've made the world a better place.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hinnick. I really like the new API and your positive influence on Python. Thanks for talking with me. And thank you. Thank you for listening. Now go out and remember to have some fun while coding.